welcome you to Doxodeo Hatfield, a multi-ethnic family on mission, passionate about Jesus, passionate about community, and passionate about serving the city of Tshwane.
It is so, so good to be in church this morning. Just look around you, and whether or not you're just joining us, whether or not you're visiting, let's see who was part of Doxodeo Hatfield right from the very start. Like, who's in the room that was there? Like, in the beginning, those people. Okay. I'm seeing a few hands. Why I asked that question, and Takis, I'm just going to jump the gun with your question, but who's here for the first time today? First time. We see a hand over there. Okay, awesome. Taiki, welcome. Yes. Let's give him a hand. Welcome. That was the first moment of you being singled out in front of everyone. I'm so sorry. But why I asked that question is that this morning we get to experience something that is beautiful. And that is that our facility, not only that, but our people, we find ourselves in that in-between stage. For some who might not know, me and my wife, we're pregnant, and we're expecting a little baby girl next year. But this whole season of waiting for our little girl is that now but not yet. Is that we're starting to figure things out, and we know where we come from, but we also feel like this is only the space that we're heading into. We're only getting ready for something new. So what I'm saying with that is, what a blessing to share that with you this morning. The fact that we as a Doxodeo Hatfield family can be in that in-between. We can be in that space of anticipating growth. That God is preparing something, not just in the venue, but in us as a community. He's leading us into something new, something bigger, something better. So whether you're new and whether you're like in the beginning people, you're the foundation of this community. Regardless, you are super, super welcome. So thank you for being in this uncomfortable in-between with us. Amen? Amen. That is not what we're talking about today, by the way. Okay, we're not talking about being pregnant, and although that is also happening in our church, we are chatting about rest. And how fitting to be speaking about rest on the 14th of December, on a cold morning, with some of us having a few weeks of work left, with some of us having a very big week of work before us. Wherever you find yourself, rest is somehow the topic and what we're mulling about in this time of year. So, talking about wisdom and the series of wisdom we've been on, we are not chatting about another life hack, okay? Another modern wisdom podcast where we say, guys, these are the five ways in which you should rest. Okay, that is not what this sermon is going to be about. This sermon is not going to be about more information. See, guys, we don't need a new life hack this morning. We don't. We have enough information running at us. What we need is a different heart. So we're striving for more. We're restless for answers. But here's what I realize as we're chatting about rest, that the thing we might fear most in our day and age, with those little phones in our pockets, the one thing we might fear most is silence. So this morning, we'll be considering rest. And we'll be looking at rest through three different tiles. We have the image of the mosaic. And we're looking at these three different shades of tiles as the book of Proverbs, the book of Psalms, and the book of Ecclesiastes, the wisdom books in the Bible. And as we're looking through all of them, we realize that we can't just use the psalm verse, the way Psalms looks at the rest. We can't just look at that one tile. We have to use the other. And we can't just use that one. We have to use the other. And that is where we're taking a step back and asking, what does the scriptures say about rest? And how does that impact today, 2025, in our lives after a year of work? So those are the four scriptures we'll be looking at. Psalm 127. And I'm giving this to you that we're going to page through a few. So for you to be ready, we're going to jump through a few scriptures. Psalms 127, Ecclesiastes 4, Proverbs 3, and Matthew 6. Here's what I trust this morning, is that this is not information that will come and go. I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit will take this morning, as you're sitting here, as you're thinking still about this week of work and anticipating the season of rest, that the Holy Spirit will come and work in you and prepare the ground for something He's about to do. So, for us to kick off on that, I have three questions for you. And I'm going to take us into a little bit of an uncomfortable space. And it's not meant to mingle again. Okay, so rest assured. But I'm going to ask you to be with me in a moment where it's not what you usually do in a sermon, but I'm going to ask you to take 20 seconds. It's not a lot, but it's going to feel like a lot in this room. Take 20 seconds after each question I'm asking and just ponder on that. Just allow yourself to park at that question. And I hope as we do that, that the rest of this time we'll have together will fall into place because of that. Okay, so here's my three questions. If you want to write them down, if you want to take a note, but we're going to ponder on each of these questions. If you want to close your eyes, if that helps, please feel free to do so. No one will be looking at you in this moment. So here are the questions. Are you weary after 2025? Like, how do you feel after this year? If you could place where your heart is at this morning, are you weary after 2025? Maybe the second question might help with the first one is, what has 2025 done within you? What has 2025 done within you? My last question. You're doing great. Last question. When I say rest, what do you feel? When I say rest, what's bubbling to the surface? This might be true of some of us this morning, is that as we went through these three questions, you are feeling a little bit like this room this morning. Is that things are kind of out of place. Like this year has happened. It's been a year. Like life feels a little bit like that backspace, like not sure that something was here and it's not here anymore, and something's dangling from the roof, and you know, the sharp edges, so people should handle you with care in a sense, you know, like just keep a safe distance around you. If your partner is anywhere in that space, don't look at them this morning. Okay, I see people shining over. But we're feeling a little messy, a little bit worn down, a little bit confused. Maybe we can discover God's wisdom from that. And within that wrestle, we can still see that rest is in that word. So, three tiles. We're working through them, and what I'm trusting for God to take us to a space out of that where you can minister to your heart. So the first tile is the pattern of trust. Now, what does this mean? We can turn to Psalms 127. Psalms 127, verse 1 and 2, and it will be up on the screen. But this is usually a scripture that shows up when we start speaking about work and rest, when we have those two in tandem. And we know this verse rather well. It's the verse that says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it." Now, that's not something great to hear at the end of the year, okay? "Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise early, to retire late." I don't like where the scripture is going. "To eat the bread of anxious labors, for he gives," and in brackets, "blessings to his beloved even in his sleep." What does this have to do with rest? What does this have to do with my work? Here is the bottom line. Here's the truth. Here's something we can draw from the scripture as you're maybe in a season of work, as you're building, as you're laboring, as you're toiling. Here's what we should see in this first tile. It's not all on us. It's not on you. We rise early, you know, we join the 5 a.m. club. Hello? Yes, we have discipline. We build, we toil. This is good. But guys, the weight of what we're carrying is not meant for our shoulders. There's a difference. It's that God is showing us that you are building, yes, good, beautiful. But the Lord gives, the Lord adds, the weight of what we're building is not on us. See, this changes the way we see rest. If the weight is on our shoulders, the way we rest is different. If we rest is different. The first tile, the first shade of rest shows us the following, that God gives us rest. We don't earn it. God gives rest. In this season where you're working, toiling, wrestling, are you open that the Lord can give you rest in this season? That is the first tile. Second tile is we go to Ecclesiastes in the chapter number 4. Ecclesiastes is a tough book to work through, but in chapter 4, we see the following, and it's kind of a different shade than the previous verse we looked at. He sees, the fool folds his hands together and consumes his own flesh, destroying himself by idleness and apathy. One hand full of rest and patience is better than two fists full of labor and chasing after the wind. What does this mean? We see the following. It's that we have a tendency to destroy our lives, to twist what life should be by either our idleness or by our toil, by our restless, endless pursuit of more. So we have our ability to chase our lives, to ruin our lives by those things. We get into these ruts where we are relentlessly just chipping away without meaning or purpose. And this, friends, this is what this scripture is telling us. Is if either we're on the side of idleness or we're chasing after the wind, both of those things catch up on us. Both of those find us at a place where we start asking questions. See, tile number 2 shows us that there's a grace in knowing what is enough. It's knowing that it's not choosing one or the other, from a place of trust, that knowing that it's not on us, we naturally have to come to the point where God shows us what is enough. What is enough? There's a grace in knowing what is enough. Now I see some skepticism in the room, because this is not the way work works. Stuff needs to get done. You know, money needs to be earned. Okay? The ground needs to be worked. There's stuff that I need to get done. No one else is in the line. I'm it. I'm front of the line. See, we can't speak about rest without speaking about our anxieties. Because that's the one thing that the moment we enter into our rest, that we have to face and we wrestle with, and that we have to confront those fears, those thoughts, those doubts. We have to face our anxieties when we deal with our rest. So the question I asked earlier on, when I say rest, what do you feel? If I could ask you this question one-on-one, what would you say bubble to the surface? Is there a resistance to stepping into rest? Are you uncomfortable with rest? Are you apprehensive to wade into that nothingness that is not work? See, this is true. This is true, and maybe for one of us, and maybe for most of us. In 2025, in Gauteng, with the world screaming at us for more, for better, for more Christmas presents, for a better job, for a better salary, for just one more, Lord, just let me do one more. Our problem isn't that we do not want to rest. It's just that we feel like we can't. We simply won't allow ourselves to rest. Or we never learned how to. I've got good news for our skepticism. Jesus, for some of us luckily and for some of us unfortunately, he spoke directly to this. And not late in his ministry journey, between Matthew 5 and 8, the Sermon on the Mount, one of the first recorded sermons of Jesus, like this masterpiece of taking this Israelites, these Jews from a place of the law to a deeper space, Jesus spoke about this anxiety. He spoke directly into this. So this morning, if you would allow me, can we walk through Matthew 6 and see how Jesus takes us from asking this question about work and say, God, should I really give this amount of time? God, I have to get this thing done. God, I have to work and work my way through more work towards a space of God saying, listen, this is what I want to touch in your heart when it comes to rest. Will you allow us to just walk through that this morning? Matthew 6, and we're starting in verse 16, and we're moving up all the way through. It says 13, but it's from 16 onwards. This is what we see. Jesus speaks about not work. He doesn't speak about, this is the wrong one. But you guys will follow along. Matthew 6, verse 16. It begins with this. It says, whenever you are fasting. Okay, what does this have? Let's hold on. Whenever you are fasting, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they put on a sad and dismal face so that their fasting may be seen by men. I assure you and most solemnly say to you that they have their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, and your fasting will not be noticed by people, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is in secret will reward you. What are we seeing in this scripture? Jesus speaks about fasting, yes. But what he's touching on for us this morning is the topic of restraint. He says, when you restrain yourself from, when you allow yourself to step back from more, what we're entitled to, what should be ours naturally, as natural as food. He says, when you restrain yourself and do that before the Lord, this can happen. And then we're moving into the second part of the scripture. Do not store for yourselves up treasures on earth, for moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth or rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, here we go, there your heart, and in brackets, your wishes, your desires, that on which your life centers will be also. Jesus shows us stepping back, restraining, allows us to see where our treasures are. Okay, here's where it comes about rest. It's the moment we restrain and rest. That is the moment where we look at the work we're doing, the studies we're completing, the one more project we're finishing, and we get to see where our treasures truly are. Jesus takes us one step further. And he says in verse 24, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon meaning money, possessions, fame, status, or whatever is valued more than the Lord. Here these pieces are starting to come together. The moment we restrain ourselves from and we see what treasures are in our heart, that's where Jesus says, my son, my daughter, this is where you see who you are serving now. It's the moment you and I, in this season, step back from our work and restrain and look at the work we're doing. Our question should be, God, is this really to serve you? Is God, are you the one that's master in my heart in this work I'm doing, in this moment? Or God, is it just a bit more money? Not provision, just a bit more money, a bit more possessions, a bit more status, a bit more ego. See, Jesus touches on the very core of what makes rest so difficult. And then, out of all these, from restraint to obedience, or treasures to obedience, now Jesus touches on anxiety. Now he says, therefore I tell you, stop being worried or anxious, perpetually uneasy or distracted about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body as to what you will wear. Is life not more than food, and the body not more than clothing? Look at the birds in the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father keeps feeding them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you by worrying can add 1 hour to the length of your life? But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive and green today and tomorrow is cut and thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? And he goes on to say, whatever you're anxious about, your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Friends, what should we be hearing? It's not that our work is not important. It's not that our work is not there to serve him. In fact, I would agree and I would resonate with you that we know our work is important to the Lord. But sometimes, as we're reading through this, where our anxieties come from, our work may be more important to us than it is to him. Story from last year in my life. And Marinus would attest to this, because we had a coffee where he had to put this reality in front of me in a very direct way. So I had a very rough project. Like, this was the project of my career. Like everything was riding on this thing. This had to work. This had to be successful. And I was carrying the weight of this project, this massive event that we're doing. I was carrying it on my shoulders. And it was 6 months of working hard and 12 months. And then on 18 months, we had this conversation. And he was asking me, listen, I don't know what you're carrying, but how you're carrying this thing, it's not looking good. And in that moment where I had to message my wife and say, I think I'm burning out. Like, I don't know what I'm feeling, but this doesn't feel right. There was an epiphany that maybe I'm making my job more important than God makes it. That I'm saying, God, listen, this is the job you gave me. This is the thing. And he says, yes, but it's not the thing. It's not the thing. Sometimes we make provision, the work, the projects, the one more, good things. But they're not God things. They're not God things. This, then, is where Jesus touches on our priorities. After speaking about who rules our hearts and asking if we're obedient to that, and then speaking into anxiety and saying, listen, if I'm the Lord, it changes the way our anxieties look. It changes the way and what we're anxious about. Then he speaks about priorities and say, yes, that's good. But now, first and foremost, and we know the scripture well, Matthew 6:33. First and most importantly, seek, aim at, strive after his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, the attitude and character of God. And all these things, guys, all these things will be given to you also. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has its enough troubles of its own. Guys, Jesus said this. Jesus. It's the moment we can put all these things in their rightful place, where we can prioritize what he is asking us to do. And he says, kingdom first, my righteousness first. It's as if life and what we do and what we aim at can fall into place. And this takes us to the third tile. This takes us to the tile where priorities, there's promise in it. Proverbs 3 says the following. He says, my son, let them not escape your sight, the sayings, the what he said before, but keep sound wisdom and discretion. And hear this, guys. This is Proverbs, thousands of years before Jesus spoke. And they will be life to your soul, your inner self, and a gracious adornment to your neck, your outer self. Then you will walk on your way of life securely, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Here's what we should see this morning in this third tile with the backdrop of Matthew 6. There are a distinction. There's a massive distinction between good things and God things. And the distinction is where they are in the order. All these things can be good, but if God is number one, as Bill Johnson said, there is no number two. So if the moment we put these things in right order and say the most important things are the things, the God things, somehow my priorities can fall into place. And we must be able to distinguish between the two. The good things, guys, are steeped in our self-sufficiency. The God things are drenched in obedience. The God things are drenched in obedience. The good things are steeped in our self-sufficiency. The one asks God, the other tells God. God must I versus God I will. See, ordered living and our right priorities brings safety and rest. That is a lot said. So what now? What now? What can we do with this Matthew 6 and the four other scriptures we went through? What now? Will you allow me to lead us into one more moment where we rest in what God is saying this morning? I asked you the following three questions at the start of the sermon. The questions were, are you weary after 2025? This deprioritization and a messy room, is that where you find yourself this morning? My second question was a bit further down the road. It says, what has 2025 done within you? What has happened in here in 2025? My third question is, when I say rest, what do you feel? What crept up? It's in those three questions, with the backdrop of these scriptures, that our invitation is the following four things. And just the following four. If I read Matthew 6 correctly, if I see what Jesus speaks about when he says, doesn't your heavenly Father know? Doesn't he care? Doesn't he see? This is what we're invited to this morning. Number one, that you are loved. You can rest assured. And you can walk into your rest knowing that you are loved. It's without knowing this. It's without knowing that our Father knows what we need. Without knowing His care. Without believing that He knows what we need. That we will not enter into rest. We will toil away if we do not believe. There's a beautiful saying that encapsulates this so well. It says, rest is the reminder that we are loved, not just useful. Friends, this morning, the rest that's awaiting you, if you have rest, let this be true. Let your rest be a reminder on the backdrop of Matthew 6. That you are loved. You're not just useful. You're not just here to just do something and just get some work done from God. This is what He's saying to you this morning. That's the invitation He's inviting you into. You are loved, so you can rest. You can rest. A second thing, and this might be more true with us thinking about our work and one more project and one more thing to do, is our second invitation is to trust and surrender. It's that, yes, God, I know I'm loved, but these things, God, these things in 1, 2, 3, He's asking you this morning to say, will you have an open hand with that? Will you, as you believe I gave them to you, are you open, willing to hold them back out to me? To give it. To trust and surrender that the one who provided is the one who sustains. That's our invitation. To be loved and to surrender. Number three is to see His faithfulness. Me and my wife recently found ourselves in a very discontent place in our life. We were looking at what friends around us have, and we're looking at, you know, other people. We're looking at where, walking into this new season, what we would love to give our little girl. And there was a stark moment where a friend's prophetic picture on our wall reminded us that look at the birds and look at the grass. The invitation this morning is for you to say, look at the birds, look at the grass, look at His faithfulness already this morning. And let that lead you into rest. We cannot forget His faithfulness. The way He's provided up until now, and the way He'll continue to provide, let us not forget that. May we see His faithfulness this morning. How He brought you to December 14th. How He sustained you through this year. We're invited to see His faithfulness. And lastly, and may this stir our hearts, may this draw our attention that He is asking us, He's inviting us this morning to seek His kingdom. is I know that as we're walking out of this room today, as we're driving back, as we're sitting somewhere for rest in the next season, he's going to be asking you this question: what would my kingdom, seeking my kingdom, look like in 2026? Because there's some priorities that need to shift. There's a seeking his kingdom that we have just put our work or put something else in that order, and that has completely shifted this room around, and we're feeling the weight of that shift. You are invited this morning to come put God number one. To say, seeking the kingdom and his righteousness is where I will find my rest. Where my anxiety will be given to him. Where I can find out that I'm truly loved. Friends, rest is the reminder that you are loved. You're not just useful. Will you allow God to show you what this means? Whatever rest is going to look like, and whether you'll be actually having a time of rest or not, God is asking you, will you come and discover what it means to seek my kingdom, to seek the wisdom of rest through those three tiles, and to see his faithfulness already? Can we pray? Yes, yeah, please.
Sorry, guys, I'm going to hijack the moment. Just before we pray, I saw this picture, and I just feel that the Lord is speaking to two scenarios this morning. So the picture is, it's a dam wall, and you're standing downstream, and you're looking up at this wall, and you are looking at the water coming through this dam wall. So the sluices are open, and it's coming down, and you're feeling like it's not enough. It's just not enough. And to that person, I just feel the Lord saying, don't focus on what's coming. The dam is full of your inheritance, and he knows what you need. The thing is, you need to focus on what's going on around you. It's the river that needs to carry that inheritance, needs work, and he wants to fix that. He's calling you into relationship with him to fix the river so that the water can increase. The other scenario is you're looking at that dam wall and you're feeling like this dam wall is going to break. I do not trust the one that's managing those sluices. And I just feel that the Lord is really calling you into a space where he says, challenge me. Challenge me. Come and see if I am trustworthy. I will show you that I am. So, yeah, thanks. I just wanted, before we pray, I just felt that.
That's so good. Holy Spirit, will you come and establish that word this morning? Holy Spirit, will you come and prompt hearts that we're pushing down thoughts in our hearts? We're pushing down emotions. Will you allow those to bubble up? Bring those to the surface in Jesus' name. God, we will not walk out of this room without recognizing that you care, that you love, that you give rest. Father, we receive that this morning. We say yes. Our hands are open. Will you lead us into this season of rest? Father, will you show us what it looks like to seek your kingdom first from that rest? To say yes to your kingdom first. Come and teach us how to rest. Come teach us what it means to be loved. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.